we think of old stuff as books like the Accession Registers over there, sort of a big paper, you know, a big imposing book, but a big imposing book made out of paper. And maybe if you're being really sort of Bob Cratchety, the cover is leather and it's really, really big, but it's made out of paper. And what we don't tend to remember is that paper is a relatively recent advance in the West. In my misspent youth, I was a medieval historian, and I actually specialized in about the 30-year period, in the time about two generations after William the Conqueror. There was this big civil war, and absolutely fascinating time period, but it meant that I was lucky enough to get to be able to have a totally legitimate reason to go into, you know, Cambridge Colleges and Essex Record Office and say, you know, the British Library and say, I want to see this, you know, thing from the 1200s or the 1300s or the 1500s, and I need to read this. And back in the Middle Ages, they didn't write on paper because the technology to make paper is a bit fiddly, and trees were being used for more important things like building material. They wrote on vellum. And basically, vellum is when it's essentially a leather analog. So rather than taking a cow skin or a sheepskin and putting it into chemicals to make it tough and relatively waterproof, you put it into chemicals to soften it up, and what you're writing on is essentially the connective, I think I'm right in saying it's the connective tissue layer, so you have to scrape everything away. And it's absolutely amazing because a raw sheet of vellum is basically an entire sheepskin, or they didn't tend to use cow skin, they used calf skin. Is an entire calf skin, and they just sort of trim the legs off it, and, you know, trim the tail off and trim the neck off, and you get this reasonably, and you stretch it. You have to, like, seriously stretch it. It takes ages to make a proper sheet of vellum. And when it's all part of the using everything but the squeal mentality of farming. And so you have this big sheet of stuff. And it's great because you can actually tell if you look at a vellum document closely enough. There's one side that has little sort of specks on it, and it's a little bit rougher than the other side. And those are known as the skin side and the flesh side of a piece of vellum, because one of them was the outside of Mr. Sheep and the other was the inside of Mr. Sheep. And so if you get, you know, a big book, a really big, brilliant book, like, say, the Winchester Bible, which is one of my favorite medieval manuscripts ever, is probably a few hundred calves or sheep, I can't remember which one it is. A much smaller book would, you know, like a Parisian student might own, would be much smaller scraps of vellum, so, you know, trimmings maybe, and quite possibly they'd have scraped off another book to get a clean sheet of something to write, you know, their, not quite their homework, but, you know, their textbook down on it. Absolutely fascinating. But if you get a vellum document wet, it's basically its skin, and it knows, so to speak, that it used to be a cow or it used to be a sheep, and it wants to be cow-shaped or sheep-shaped. So it'll warp out of shape because it wants to go back to the way it used to be when it was sitting in the field, which is brilliant. But when you heat it, it reacts like, say, human skin would when you get burned. It contracts, so because it's protein. And so the protein shrinks, and you wind up with something that is a lot smaller. So if you, say, have a vellum deed that's all folded up, if it's treated, if it's heated, so if it's in a fire, say, it will contract into something a lot like a hockey puck. And when you write on vellum, you're using a goose quill, you know, a quill pen, and essentially what you're doing is painting on it with ink that tends to bind to it. So you can't just erase it, you have to literally scrape it off with a knife. And when that gets heated, it shrinks as well. And so you literally can't pry them open the way you could, say, a bunch of paper that's gotten waterlogged. Most of the time you can sort of lift bits off of it. This you can't open without it getting brittle and cracking, and you can't read it anymore. So when I was a trainee in Wales, one of the collections had a bunch of vellum deeds that had been subjected to a fire while they were all folded up, and they were literally hockey pucks. So we couldn't read them, but they were really useful as props when you were doing a class visit. So because, you know, that is essentially leather, same thing that you make a football out of. You can literally kick one of those things like a football, you know, punt it across the room, and it's fine. To a certain extent, I think you can re-wet vellum, but there's a point of no return, really, as far as I know, but I'm not actually a conservator. What I do know is that doing anything with something like that takes a lot of time and an awful lot of skill, which means that we're actually talking sort of quite serious applied organic chemistry here. So it takes a lot of money. And for a lot of archives, they don't necessarily have those resources. But the other thing is that sort of reaction where you're binding proteins together, that's not really reversible. It's literally like getting burned. So after a certain point, it's just you have this thing and you keep this thing, but you can't necessarily look at it. The other thing is that they wouldn't get rid of it anyway because we don't know what's going to happen with technology. So, you know, in 50 or 100 years' time, somebody may invent something with, you know, UV light or X-rays or photons or, God forbid, that will let us take one of those hockey pucks, put it into a machine, and pull out what's written on it using, you know, holograms and supercomputers or something. It's almost like fate that this stuff is tough enough to last through the centuries and tell us, you know, who's giving what to who, or what, you know, what do people think is important. When I was doing my research, I wound up at the British Library reading the Chronicle of Westminster. And, you know, okay, vellum deeds are about as interesting as any deed would be. You know, go look up the deed to you know, the house you live in. It's really not that interesting. But this is basically, it's not quite a history textbook because part of it is basically a blog, because the chronicler starts out writing about very, very early history, and then gets down to their time, and then is writing down what happened. So it's sort of a cross between a blog and BBC News 24. And it's this document that's basically it's not quite as wide opened up as my outstretched arms, but, you know, it's this really big, sort of 2 foot tall, foot wide closed, you know, 18 inches thick, seriously big, heavy book. And there's only one reading room in the British Library you're allowed to read stuff like that in. And so I turn up, and when you go to the British Library and you order a document, you hand over your library card and they keep it until you bring it back. So I stagger off with this thing, you know, clutched to my chest like a giant rigid baby. And all I could think of was, wow, accumulated human wisdom smells like cow, which is just wonderful. You know, and it's kind of a shame that a lot of the stuff that we produce nowadays, you know, photographs, videotapes, they're an awful lot more fragile. but they tell exactly the same stories, which is just absolutely brilliant.